You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And jazakallah khair for listening.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-asfiya wa ashabihi al-atfiya amma ba'd. There is a narration in which the Prophet ﷺ said that one day I was walking and I heard a noise from the sky. And when I turned to the sky, I had seen a large army of angels descending down. And they were holding some verses of the Quran. And as they got closer to the earth, they began to recite those verses more loudly and loudly. And then the Sahabi who's narrating this hadith, he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ at some point, when he heard all of the angels reading it and they were coming so close to him, he became a little frightened. And then the Prophet ﷺ, when he was struck by awe, he fell into sajda. And then that's when Jibreel ﷺ came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "O Messenger of Allah, we have come to you with a very special revelation." And at that time, Suratul An'am was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. The companions, they mentioned that this is the one surah that was revealed in one gathering to the Prophet ﷺ. According to some Mufassirin, minor one or two verses, but the entire surah was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. This is a very special surah. You know, there is a narration on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recite His kalam for the creation. He will recite the Quran for the creation. And the scholars, they differ based off the narrations. Which surah will it be that Allah will recite for His creation on the Day of Judgment? Some scholars, they say it will be Surah Yasin. Some scholars say it will be Surah Rahman. And amongst the different opinions is the opinion that it will be Suratul An'am. Because the surah is very, very special. From beginning till end, every verse reminds us of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is posing a rhetorical question. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادًا قُلِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He's asking, وَلَهُ مَا سَكَنَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ Sometimes He's telling you that everything in the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He probes us again and says, don't you think, use your brain. Could there be any other creator than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And again, from beginning until the end, sometimes Allah is using examples, sometimes He's using similes, sometimes a story of someone in the past. And then at times Allah says Himself, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Now let's stop going around in circles. Let me tell you, I was the one that created the earth and the sky. بَدِيعُ. Badi'a, similar to the word bid'ah, which means innovation. I was the innovator. No one before me had ever even thought of the concept of the earth and the sky. It was unreal, it was unheard of. But then I was the one who came up with the concept. I was the one that brought it into existence. I was the one that brought it to perfection. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said regarding this particular surah, that whoever reads the first three verses of Suratul An'am, until the ayah, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ the first three verses. Whoever reads the first three verses in the morning of Surah Al-A'am until the ayah ends, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ 40,000 angels will descend and pray for that person until the Day of Judgment. And those angels will stand there, and any time Shaitan wishes to whisper anything into this person's heart, the angels will stand there with metal hammers and they will hit that person away until there will be seven barriers between that person and Shaitan. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he continued on to say, and then finally, when that servant will come to Allah on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say to him, أَنَا رَبُّكَ وَأَنْتَ عَبْدِي That I am your master and you read Suratul An'am in the world and you are my servant. Because that's what Suratul An'am is all about. Oh Allah, you are the master and I am your servant. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, as the hadith continues on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Oh my servant, stand underneath my throne, don't stand in the burning sun. Take the shade of my throne. Drink from the water of Kawthar. Take a bath in the water of Salsabil. Enter into Jannah bila hisabin, without any accounting at all, wa bila adabin, without any punishment at all. This is a very important narration. All of the Mufassireen have quoted this narration at the beginning of Surah An'am. You can check Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh, check Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayh, and the list goes on. Most of the Mufassireen have quoted this particular narration at the beginning of the surah to show how important this surah is. Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that if this surah is recited from beginning till end, next to a sick person, that person will be cured. Such is the power in the surah, Suratul An'am. I wanted to focus on two very interesting verses, ayah number 60 and ayah number 61. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says while mentioning his might and his power and his knowledge, he says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong the keys to the knowledge of the unseen. And no one knows that other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge by default belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody knows the knowledge of Allah. And the reality is, there are certain things that even a Nabi does not know. There are certain things even a prophet does not know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions five things are such that even a prophet does not know. What are the five things? إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when the final hour is. Many people came and asked the Prophet, when is the final hour? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the knowledge of the Qur'an, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was humble. And when he was asked a question he didn't know the answer to, he didn't force an answer, he said, I don't know, Allah knows when the final hour is. And then the second thing, Allah subhanahu inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'a wa yunazzilu al-ghayb. Allah knows regarding the rain, when it will come, where it will hit, how fast will the rain shower down, how many drops will it shower down, how many people will benefit from that rain, how many people will be destroyed by that rain. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. As human beings, we can only cast. You know, forecast in itself is so vague, the word is so vague. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forecast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilm, al-yaqeen. He has solid, firm knowledge regarding this. The third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that only I know what is in the womb. You may be able to tell what is in the womb later on. But that's like, you know, me buying a car and putting a sheet over it and saying, what's in here? Anyone can guess what's underneath the sheet once the sheet's there and the car's already there. Allah says, I know what will be under that sheet before you even put anything there. That's what you call kamal. If I'm going to put something in my hand, and it's going to be big, and I ask you, is this a small object or a big object? You say it's big because you can see my hand is opening. That's no kamal. There's nothing special about that. But imagine I haven't even put anything in my hand yet. My hands are out, and I'm saying, guess what's going to be in my hands? Can you guess? Allah says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah knows what's in the womb before it even comes there. The fourth thing, Allah knows what you're going to earn. Nobody can be sure what they're going to earn. And the last thing, Allah knows where you're going to die. There's a famous story related to this last part. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, some of you may have heard of him, grand scholar of hadith, great faqih of his time, one of the four legal schools of thoughts are attributed to him till today. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he saw a dream, and in his dream a person came to him and showed him five fingers, and that person disappeared. Imam Malik woke up, he's this great scholar of hadith, he's thinking, what does it mean I was shown five fingers? Does that mean I'm going to die in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years? 5 decades, 5 centuries, he wasn't sure. So he wrote a letter to the great Imam al-Mu'abbirin, the great scholar who is known for interpreting dreams, Muhammad ibn Sirin. He wrote a letter to him saying, I saw this dream that a person came to me and showed me 5 fingers. What is the interpretation of this? But at the bottom he wrote a little note. He said, I just want to add one thing, maybe you may not know about me. I, Imam Malik, have never stepped out of Medina Munawwara my entire life. And that's the one thing that is holding me back from performing Hajj, because I fear that if I step out of Medina, what if I die outside Medina? I haven't performed my Hajj yet either. This is something I haven't told. So Imam Ibn Sirin wrote a letter back to him. He said, these 5 fingers are not referring to 5 days, 5 minutes, 5 hours. They are referring to the 5 things only Allah knows. And the 5th thing is where you're going to die. You can't dictate where you're going to die. Go and do your Hajj. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, like a little mouse, he ran out of his burrow, performed the Hajj, and ran right back to Medina Munawwara. And he said, safe. Now I'm going to die. Look at this, amazing, right? His desire is to pass away in Medina Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْ. There are certain things even the prophets don't know. However, certain things Allah shares with the prophets. But prophets do not have unlimited access to the knowledge of the unseen. This is our aqidah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُولِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. No one has complete access of the unseen. Allah may share certain unseen matters at times, but no one has complete access. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Whoever goes to a fortune teller, his salah will not be accepted for 40 days. You know, our children, we should train them from a young age. You know, we take it as a joke, the Chinese cookies, and we open them up, a little fortune, a little paper in there, we laugh at it, haha. But there are certain things that are clear. The Prophet is saying 40 days of your prayers are not accepted. Now to you and I, that little paper that's in the fortune cookie, does it mean anything? No. But for the kid, it may. Maybe what's written in the fortune cookie, that very vague statement that you are going to be happy, maybe he's happy at the time. He says, oh my God, he's right, I'm happy. this fortune cookie guy's a genius, let me go give bay'ah to him, become his murid or something, right? So now this person's aqidah is going to be destroyed. The Prophet is saying 40 days of your prayers are not accepted. Then the ayah continues on. Allah says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah knows of everything that is on the earth and in the oceans. Creations that you and I are not even aware of that live underneath the ground and live under deep in the ocean, Allah says, I know of all of them. I feed all of them. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. There is not a leaf that falls from a tree in the Amazon jungle, but I know of it. Every single leaf. Allah knows who was the one who planted that tree there, how long it took the tree to grow, how many branches it has, how many leaves it has, how long will these leaves live, and when and where will they fall. The scholars, they say underneath this ayah, if Allah knows that about an inanimate object, a leaf, what do you think He doesn't know about you and I? We're animate. We're real. We have a soul in us. Allah knows much more about us than He knows about that leaf there. Some scholars, while doing tafsir of this verse, they say that what this ayah is referring to is that underneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, He has a tree. There's a tree there. And on each tree, there is a leaf. And each leaf signifies the soul and every human being's body. And some days what happens is that in the morning, in the day, leaves fall from that tree, from underneath Allah's throne. And whichever leaf falls from there, that person falls in the world. He dies. And then every morning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order, today take Hussein's leaf down, today take this person's leaf down, today take that person's leaf down. And when their turn comes, their leaf falls, and that's the end of their life. And the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He then says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives you death, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ at night. He's the one who puts you to sleep. And when you go to sleep, when you're lying there, there is no person in the world other than Allah that can bring you back awake. You know, I was in England this year. And I was in London and I got a phone call. My brother said to me, Sheikh, there's a person that's passed away in Birmingham. The family members are requesting that you lead the janazah prayer. So we drove from London. We came down to Birmingham. When we came there, it was a janazah of a 2-year-old baby girl, young girl. And it was so ajeeb because that was the first time in my life I actually had read janazah on a 2-year-old. And why it hurt so much, why it was such a difficult one, is because I have a 2-year-old. And as I was standing there after I led the janazah prayer, when we went to the burial site, when we lowered the baby down into the grave, the father was the one who lowered his baby with his own hands. Allahu Akbar. I couldn't imagine that. And when he lowered his baby in the ground like this, he didn't even have tears in his eyes. And that's what worried me the most, actually. If he was crying, I would have been happy. He had no tears in his eyes, just blank on emotions. So afterwards, I went to him, I put my hand around his shoulder, I said, is everything okay? You know what he said to me? He said, Mufti Saab, last night I was the one who tucked her in bed. Nothing was wrong with her. She was healthy. But she didn't wake up in the morning again. I didn't realize that that was the last time I was reading the dua to my daughter, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. She passed away, amut, but she didn't come back to me again. This is the reality of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. You taste a little taste of death every night when you lie on your bed. Every night when you lie on your bed, you taste it a little bit. You taste it a little bit. But why don't you learn your lesson? You know, my teacher used to always say, every time you go to sleep, remind yourself that you may never wake up. And the last thing before you go to sleep, is actually the most important thing. Because if you don't wake up again, you will be doing that exact thing on the Day of Judgment. So make the last thing you do something very important. You know, after you give your wife a little hug, give your kids a little hug, and give them a kiss, and give your wife an embracing, after you say, I love you, dear, then turn to yourself and do a little dhikr of Allah. Read the dua, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Read your du'as before going to sleep. You know, because if that's the last thing you do, it should be the most meaningful thing. I want to end with teaching everyone here a dua. That's if you guys promise to read it, inshallah.
Inshallah.
If you can't memorize the Arabic, at least the English. What is that dua? This is the dua Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to make. One of the most powerful duas, and I love this dua very dearly. It's very dear to my heart. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to make a very beautiful dua. He used to say, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu. Oh Allah, make the last part of my life the best part of my life. Some people, they do good, and then they mess up afterwards, and they only reminisce over their good days. Oh, when I was 16, I was pious. Allah says, no. Abu Bakr is saying, oh Allah, make the last part of my life the best part of my life. Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahum wa khayra amali khatimahu. Oh Allah, make the best deed I do my entire life, the most sincere deed I do my entire life, the deed that I do while I'm dying. Make that be the cream of the crop. Wa khayra amali khatimahu وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِي يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِيهِ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And O Allah, make the happiest and the best day in my life the day I stand in front of you on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to learn from these beautiful gems of Surah Al-An'am. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the true muwahideen, those who believe in Allah and frequently repeat, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.